I was in the music industry, and I was running in the wrong direction, and God saved me. But when I got saved, our church at that time had been praying for 4 solid years, and there was pastors from all over getting together, coming to our church and praying that God would send revival. And at that time, when I walked into the church and I had got saved, one of the Sundays I was headed for the back door, and this guy, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him, and he just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And when he introduced himself, I was looking up like this at him. And he said, "Hi, my name is Ralph Harper." And I said, "My name is Brother Mike." And he said, "I know who you are." Didn't even have to finish. He said, "I know exactly who you are. We've been praying for a year that you'd get saved." Can you imagine that? Someone that never saw my face was handed my name on a piece of paper. And he was faithful to pray and brought my name before that church during fastings for revival. And they prayed that I'd get saved. Not only did God save me, but he brought me to the very church that had been praying for a year for me to be saved. That's our God, amen? Well, take your Bible this morning and turn to John chapter 21. And I desire to see revival. So, my wife was saved shortly after that. And we've had the awesome privilege and honor of raising our children under the banner of the gospel. And we've had the awesome opportunity to start a godly heritage, to sit down with God's Word, and to have devotion, and have prayer, and pray for them to be saved, and hear them say, "I'm already saved, Dad." Well, we're going to pray for you anyway. A couple of you need to get extra saved. No. Well, if you found your place, say amen. Amen. I hope that you've invited God to move here in the services. During Sunday school, we were talking about where does God move? Where does God move? God moves wherever He's invited. So I hope you've invited Him to move in your church today. I hope you've invited Him to move in your heart today. So if you found your place, let's go ahead and stand up. John chapter number 21, if you're physically able, let's all join together in standing. We'll be reading in the first 5 verses, and we'll have a quick word of prayer, and you may be seated. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a-fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then saith Jesus unto them, "Children, have you any meat?" They answered him, "No." And that's our text verse right there. Then Jesus saith unto them, children have you any meat? This morning, God helping me, I'd like to preach a message to you called Children Have You Any Meat? Father, we bow before you. Lord, how can we begin to thank you? Should we start by thanking you for the next breath that we're taking? Can we give you thanks for the ability to stand, to sit, to see, to hear, to speak? Lord, everything that we have comes from you. Lord, and how you desire, more than anything, to draw your church closer to yourself. And I pray that today you'd receive the glory and the honor. Lord, I just ask that you'd please remove me entirely from the equation. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you, and I just ask that you'd please forgive me and cleanse me. May your word come forth not with opinion, but with purity and with power. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, folks, for standing. Well, churches all across our cities and the states and our country are struggling. It's a blessing to hear that churches are being started, but they're being closed at such a rapid rate. It's very alarming. And as Christians, we need to pray that God would give us more churches. Would you agree to that? Say amen. Amen. How many of you are thankful for your church here? Say amen to that. Amen. And by the way, before I get going, because I'm called a long-winded loudmouth, I have an idea for you for honoring your pastor, Pastor Appreciation Day. Y'all can get a little pad of Post-its. And each one of you write something on it, two or three, four things. And I mean, just cover his office door. So when he comes back, it looks like his door's exploded with chicken pox. Right? Post-it pops. But as he looks at that, and he reads those personal things that you've written to him, or those Bible verses that, as you sat down and said, Lord, what Bible verse would you have me share with my pastor? And write that down for him. That'll make a difference in his heart. I guarantee you he'll save those things. He'll put them in his drawer. And when he's getting discouraged, guess what he's going to do? He's going to take that out and he's going to look at those notes. You can never love your pastor too much. Even if it's leaving him a candy bar up here, his favorite kind. A little note that says, make sure you bite the devil real hard today. I'll tell you what, fire him up, man. Get him going, right? Get him going. You need him to kick the snot out of the devil for you, don't you? Right? As you're praying that for him and he's praying that for you, that'll be a blessed place. The devil will start to attack your church, but only because he wants to keep you down. Because anybody who's doing anything for God will have attacks. Would you say amen to that? Yes, you would. How many of you have made up your mind and said, I'm going to pray more? And man, you just got so, you had the worst bout of being tired of your entire life, right? Distractions come. When you make up your mind to follow Jesus Christ, don't think he's not going to attack. He will, but that's okay because you're on the winning side. Amen. Churches all across our country, they're struggling. The work of God is being limited, and it's not because of the economy, although that does lend a hand. Our economy is good right now. Thank the Lord for that. Nor is it because of the liberals who are tearing away at the fabric of society and everything that's good and decent, although that does have a big part of it. Nor is it because of the cults who are being used in a mighty way by the enemy of God to cause confusion to a point that many people don't even know what truth is anymore. So many religions out there, who's to say what's true anymore? All of these things would rapidly be removed if one simple thing would stop. That Christians would stop walking away from the will of God. We wouldn't have problems having a pulpit filled if the man who was called to preach would stand up and preach. Wouldn't have a problem in any ministry need. We wouldn't have a problem with doors getting closed if the people of God would just be obedient to God, knowing that it's His will to give to the work of God, if they would just give. Wouldn't have a problem, would we? If God's children were obedient to God's will, all these problems would be removed. What about the liberals? They'd be getting saved. Why? Because the children of God would be out doing what? Knocking on doors. Not giving the Jehovah's Witnesses a chance to, amen? Drive them right out your neighborhood. I was out knocking doors one time with one of my sons, and I put an invitation on a door because they didn't answer the door, but I could hear them inside, amen? So I left them an invitation, gave an extra knock or two before I walked away. Well, Jehovah's Witness came by and they tried moving my stuff. I said, "Hey, you moving my stuff?" "No, I'm not." "Yeah, you are. I saw you. Get out of here. This is my neighborhood. Get out." Amen? They don't need to be reading about Charles Taze Russell, what he believes about the Scriptures, or Judge Rutherford, or Nathan Knorr. They don't need to know that stuff. They need to know that Jesus Christ is God. Would you say amen? Amen. They need to know that they can be saved. Would you say amen? Amen. Thank you, all three of you. People, stop walking away from God's will. Now, the will of God is a solid place, amen? If we were to look at this and pull some truths out of this Scripture, the will of God is a solid place. It's the best place for us to be at all times in our lives. You got some missionaries coming in. They gave up everything stateside to go live in Africa. I guarantee they testified before, "I'd rather live in Africa, be in the center of God's will, than be at home and be out of God's will." Because the will of God is the safest place for us to be at all times in our life. And God's will will thrive and have joy. A heart that is full and always soft. Blessings abound and fellowship with God is sweet. A desire to have more and more of God's presence is our number one motivation. And even when things go wrong, they don't seem to go wrong because it's more like this. Here's another opportunity for God to prove His greatness. We walk in dependence, total dependence on God. So what is it that's making people leave His will? And how can we avoid it? What took the disciples away? We look back at these men. They walked with God, side by side with God. They walked in the very presence of God Almighty. They saw God walk up to a man, spit on the ground, anoint his eyes, and say, "Go down over to that pool, wash the mud off your face, and you'll be able to see." And they watched another man be raised up out of the dead, sat up out of a coffin, right? Over in the city of Bain, there was a great procession. The mother was heartbroken. Why? Her only son, the heir to the family, was dead. And he said, "I don't think so. Get up." And the kid stood up. They watched God take just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread and break it and feed the multitudes. They were part of it. They were the ones reaching their hand into the basket saying, "Where's all this food coming from? Here, have some. Oh, I think I'm out." "Oh, wait, I'm not out. What is going on here?" And they watched as God said, "Go ahead, clean up all the fragments so that nothing's wasted, and they all walked away with their own personal basket. They heard the Son of God pray. They watched the Son of God come walking at them on the water. But here we have these men, just about 40 days later, walking away from the will of God. How did that happen? Well, the very first thing that I see is they got off the solid ground of God's will. We'll make application. The shore will represent God's will today. Amen. Look, if you will. Look, if you will, with me in your Bible. Verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Look at those next three words. Let's read them together. They went forth. The shore representing God's will. They gave up the stability of God's will for what? For instability. For instability. What made them do it? Well, Christ was not with them the way that He was. I believe that the very presence of God was not with them. I believe they missed Him. Let's just put it plainly. I believe they missed Him. I believe they were heartbroken. I believe they missed the presence of God. I believe they missed hearing His voice. I believe they missed doing errands for Him. We had it so good at one time. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? They looked to the future as the social climate toward them was becoming increasingly violent toward them. They weren't strangers to being on the run with people trying to kill them. They understood the weight of their calling. Hey, did you hear me? They understood the weight of their calling. But still, they chose unstable conditions. The sea is a very unstable place to be. It's unpredictable. I don't know about you, but I would not want to be way out in the middle of the ocean. I've gone on deep sea fishing trips, and we are about as far out into the ocean as that I want to get. Ocean could be peaceful at one point, and then you turn your back on that thing or forget it. You got a 35-foot high wave coming at you. I don't want nothing to do with a storm that can move in just like that and lift up that tiny little boat and fling that thing about a country mile. No, thank you. I don't want to be a part of that. I like good old terra firma, solid ground. It's an unpredictable place to be. Well, God establishes us and gives us a commission, gives us a safe environment. But during a time of waiting on God, what happens to us? Have you ever decided to walk away from the will of God for something unstable? Instead of waiting on God in prayer, you decided to make a move yourself and it didn't turn out so good. Did that ever happen to you? It's happened to me too many times. Don't say amen, honey. Sometimes we just get plain rebellious and find ourselves in a very unstable, unpredictable environment. Why? Because we made a decision to leave. I had a job of 16 years. I had a wife, 3 kids, a house, good benefits. But I wanted to serve God full time. That was my heart's desire. I wanted to give all to Jesus Christ. How many times I came to the altar and said, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I belong to you. I want you to know I'll do anything for you. I'll go anywhere for you. I did not prove out God's will. I did not sit down and have communication with my wife. We didn't have extensive talks about it. I didn't go and get good counsel about it. Instead, I walked into my boss's office because I had made a vow to God. And one day while I was sitting at work, Ecclesiastes chapter number 5 verse 3 popped into my head and I said, I've never even heard of Ecclesiastes. What's that? So I asked somebody at work what that was. I went and I looked it up, and it said, when thou hast vowed a vow to God, defer not to pay it. And I went, oh, no. Now it became real. So I walked in to my boss's office, and I said, I quit. You what? I quit. 16 years, seniority, paid vacation. Lots of paid vacation. I walked away from it all to do what I thought was a good thing, to serve God full time. Amen! But I violated the will of God. Did I feel like God was calling me to? Yes, I did. But I got way ahead of Him during that waiting period. I kicked the door open, amen? And I did not wait for God to open the door. But the will of God at that time for my life was this: provide for your wife, provide for your family. Have income that pays your bills. Don't just walk away from everything. I learned that lesson the hard way, amen? I learned that lesson the hard way. So I tell you this, prove the will of God. Make sure you prove it out with fasting, with prayer, and get with your preacher. Talk to him. Get good godly counsel. Make sure you're doing the right thing for the right reason. Make sure that God is moved in your heart to do it. And by the way, when God does move in your heart, don't delay. Do it as quick as you can. Take full advantage of it. Grab onto it. And give it all your energy. Because God needs that from us. Amen? But make sure it's His will. And make sure that you've proved it out. And get great counsel. So the very first thing we saw was them walking away from stable ground. The very second thing was, these verses jumped out to me. At the end of verse number 3, that night. Nighttime, it's dark. How many of you have ever been walking through the house when it's dark and kick something? Yeah, me too. With 8 children, I've stepped on a number of toys. Never knew G.I. Joe or those little toy soldiers could hurt so much. Step on one of those puppies with bare feet. You know it, right? Could not see. How many of you ever been walking through the dark and bumped into something? Yeah, me too. I remember one time my wife was walking through the house. I heard this, bang, ah, so I started laughing. Right? And she goes, real funny. I said, what happened? She goes, I kicked the little TV. At the time we had these little TVs, we were doing homeschooling on DVD for the kids. She kicked one of those things, and I just had myself a giggle about it. Well, just 2 nights later, guess what happened? I got out of bed to go check on one of the kids. Bang! Ow! She goes, ha ha! Not so funny now, is it? My kids call that a Jesus spanking. Well, that night, it was dark. Notice a total lack of direction. They knew that God called them to be preachers. They knew that God told them, go and establish my work. They knew what God wanted them to do. And he turned around, and Peter was the leader, and he said, that's it, I'm going back to the world. 7 other people went with him. Now, we could park right there, and we could talk about being careful about the decisions you make, because every single one of you is attached to people in this church. When God puts you in a church, He sews you into a tapestry, amen? And when you go walking away from God's will, you rip a hole in it. Better make sure you're God-led. Better make sure it's not, oh, I'm sick and tired of this place. You better make sure you're God-led. Make sure you're God-led. Because it'll take other people with you. We'd like to think that, oh no, they're not going to go. They understand my reasons. They're spiritual. They'll stay. Can I tell you that I watched a church go from 500 down to 39 people? My wife will testify. I felt like I was in the book of Exodus. Amen. Make sure what happened. One person started following another person instead of following who? God. Make sure they had a complete lack of direction. To be out of God's will, another thing I notice is this. It's very dark. It's a discouraging time. When you're out of God's will, you get discouraged. What else comes? Attacks, temptations. Do you know evil deeds happen in darkness? Did you know that when you're away from God's presence and you're out of God's will, things that you used to take a stand for, things that you used to say, I'll never let that stuff into my life, guess what you're finding acceptable? Guess what you're questioning and saying, why is that so bad anyway? What is so bad about sitting down and having a little glass of wine and saying, it's all in moderation? No, it's not! Because when you're close to Jesus, you don't want a little glass of wine. Be filled with the Spirit. We find ourselves being drawn or even doing things we know that are wrong. We start to wander from God and wonder, hey, have you ever been out of God's will and you knew it, but you're just too prideful or too stubborn to return to it and get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you? But all of a sudden you started wondering, is God even for me anymore? Hey, God, did you forget my address? Guess what else happens in darkness? You can't see things very clearly, can you? No. So our perception of God's truths become distorted. The farther away you are from something, the harder it is to see it clearly. Makes pretty good sense, doesn't it? But when we're close to Jesus, things are pretty clear. The work of our hands is vanity. Did you notice what happened to them? They worked all night. What'd they catch? What's in the net? Nothing. What'd you get? Seaweed. You know what? This idea stinks. Right? What made them leave? Well, we already talked about one of the things I believe they missed him. But there was another little word that jumped out to me. Look at verse number 3 again. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They saith unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into what? A ship. That little vessel that carried them away. How about this? The ship of forgetfulness. Ship of forgetfulness. Have you ever forgotten God's goodness to you? Huh? When you're out of God's will and things are dark, and you forget God's goodness toward you. Forget how God saved you. Forget how you'll never have to feel one single flame in hell. You'll forget the times that God came through for you. You'll forget the times that He provided money for you. You'll forget the times that He provided a food card for you. You'll forget the times that Pastor was there to pick you up, to pray for you. You'll forget. Why? Because we get forgetful. We get forgetful. Many times when we're going through a trial, we want to behave ourselves the right way. But when it all comes down to it, I don't know about you, so I'll just speak for me. I'm pretty selfish and spoiled. That too honest for you? I want what I want, and I have a feeling so do you. God knows His children. I believe they entered into that ship of forgetfulness. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 2, verse 32, Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Jeremiah 50 verse 6 says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. And they have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Another thing that I see is a ship of worldly cares. Can you imagine what they were thinking? Tired of being on the run. Tired of people hating them. Tired of not having the best comforts. Tired of not having food on the table. Tired, tired, tired. Worldly cares. I'd be better off taking some time off of church just so I could work some overtime, get these bills cleared up. What's God's will? That you'd be in church. Well, I don't feel so good. I think I pulled a toenail. I'll just stay home and watch David Jeremiah on TV. He's a good preacher. I'll watch him. What's God's will? Can I just take a little aside right here? I wish that every single person that's got a television show right now sharing the gospel message in America would say, get up and go to your home church, click. And the screen would just go black. Now, I'm thankful that people can get a gospel message that can't get up out of bed. I'm thankful for it, don't get me wrong. But when people get saved and they know that God wants them in His house, how many of you are parents? How many of you ever had a parent? Can I say that your parents wanted you at home? Can I say that when you weren't at home, when you should have been at home, they sat up late wondering where you were? Especially when they put a dime in your pocket, and I don't know how many of y'all remember payphones, but here's a dime, get to a payphone and call me. Why? So they didn't worry. Well, guess what God does? Why aren't my children in my house? I want them in my house. Thank you for giving me that little aside. But, ship of worldly cares, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Note that little phrase, the spirit of the world. Did you know that the world has a spirit about it? Did you know that the world is constantly trying to tear you away from God? Did you know that the prince of the power of the air is constantly putting distractions in your path to pull you away from God? Constantly. See these things right here? I was sharing in the Sunday school class. One morning I got up and I hardly ever use Facebook. But I looked down and I had a notification from Facebook and I went to go look it up. And God said, you really going to look at Facebook before opening my book? What is that? It's a little distraction. A little tiny distraction. Pull you away from God. Anything the devil can do to keep you from being productive for God, he's going to throw it at you. Mark it down, write it down, paste it to your forehead in reverse so that when you look at in the mirror, you see it right there. The devil's trying to distract me. Devil's trying to distract me. Devil's trying to distract me. He wants me out of God's will. He's not your buddy. And when Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, he wasn't kidding. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He's not kidding. He's not kidding. He needs the church to say, you know what? We are born again by an incorruptible seed. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm not going to let the devil have what God is rightfully God's. That's what the church needs to do. Make a decision. I am planted in God's will. And nothing's going to move me. I got roots down deep. Oh, come what may. And blow, oh wind, blow. Well, you're going to watch me rock back and forth. But I'm not going to be moved because I belong to Jesus. That's what God wants. some immovable people. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't get out of God's will. The devil will use you up and spit you out.